Judy Henshaw is talking to her brother, John Forty, on the 23rd of September, 2014. John, would you like to tell us about how you played at Walsgrove Farm?
Well, when we first came to Whitley, I was 7 years old and very quickly made friends with John Taylor and Colin Pyatt. And there was another boy who lived at Walsgrove Farm, Rutter's Farm as it was, David Jones. And we could play, we could do more or less what we liked in the buildings. We could come and go as we pleased. There was quite a definite code, but we could make sort of huts in the buildings and the hay and everything. But when the cows needed bringing up for milking, and there were about 40 of them, I think, then somebody would come around and say, come on, you lads, fitter up the cows. And that was it. We had to do it. And we did. And I know there was one cow in particular seemed to be the leader. You only had to shout, cup, 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 cup. And they all the cows came. You didn't have to herd them or anything. They weren't like sheep. But the leader was Old Pitcher, and she was a big, I think a Hereford Cross cow with enormous horns, with a lovely cow. And she led everybody up at her own pace, and there was no good trying to hurry her. But the other things were, and then we brought them up into the cow sheds, and it wasn't a parlour system then, it was stalls. And each cow had its own stall. And if for any reason a cow sort of went into the wrong stall, it really made one heck of a din, and the cows just did not like it. And having quite large horns, they could do some damage, but so we had to be careful about that. The other thing was, when we were going on, there were many footpaths in the village, and it didn't matter too much if we went on the footpaths or around the fields, but if we got to a gate, if you opened it, you had to shut it. If you had climbed the gate, then you climbed at the hinges. If you climbed a fence, you climbed at the fence post. If the field was ploughed or planted, and this, even if it was hay or straw or wheat or anything, then you walked around the edge of it. Never mind if there was a path going through the middle, you walked around the edge. And that was really it.
And tell us about when you went fishing and swimming.
Ah, well, fishing, we used to go to the Inkpot Pool, which was in Abberley Hall Woods. And there was small roach and small perch. And most of the time we went there. But occasionally we decided to go down to Dr. Goodwin's pool, which is the pool right opposite the Whitley Court. And there were pike in that pool. And we used the roach as bait. And on one instance in particular, we're in the punt, which was owned by Dr. Goodwin, as the pool was. And we'd caught a small pike, but Dr. Goodwin decided that we shouldn't be there for some reason. It was his pool, after all. So we were paddling madly for the boathouse and got there just in time and disappeared fairly quickly. There were no repercussions from this, but we just made us a bit fleet on our feet.
And where did you go swimming?
Oh, swimming, yes. Well, a lot of the village used to go down to the washing pool, which is, again, one of the pools at Whitley Court. And if the sun had been on the water, it could be very warm. But, I say half the village went. Many people from the village went there, and it was about 100 yards to cross it in quite deep water. But it was really good fun and quite an activity.
Right. Tell us about playing the organ and what you lads had to do.
Ah, well, the lads, we all were expected to go to church as young teenagers. And I know I was with David Ree at one time, and we were pumping the organ because there was no electricity in the parish church at that time. And we had to pump the organ to sort of keep it going. And you could rest a little bit, a few seconds, I suppose. But David was pumping this one time, and he rested for probably a bit more than a few seconds. And the sound was just going absolutely down, and it was hardly anything. And I suppose the organist had pulled out all the stops, and when David suddenly realised and pumped like mad and nearly blasted everybody out of the church.
Tell me what you did, what you and John Taylor did when you tried his father's tobacco.
Ah, well, John's dad had worked at Abbey Hall, and but he'd got a big greenhouse, and he did grow his own tobacco. I don't know for how long he grew it, but anyway, we naturally thought we'd test it, and did on quite a few occasions. Now, I suppose it must have been about 11 or 12 at the time, maybe a bit younger. But since then, neither of us have smoked.
Then when you got older, the dances you went to at the 100 House?
Ah, that was much late in the 60s. That's when there was the men's club in the village. There was the cricket club, which was Abbey and Whitley Cricket Club. And the police, there were three policemen, and there was a sergeant and two constables in the village at the time, and two, one in Abbey and one in Martley. And all of them used to put on a dinner dance at the 100 House, and it was for everybody, and we had sort of a marvellous time there. It was very convivial, to say the least. That's in the days when there was a bowling green at the 100 House. And at one stage, when I was in the Young Farmers, we always had a bar at any dances we had. And we asked somebody down at the Stamford Bridge Hotel if they would sort of provide the bar, as they had done in the past. And Sergeant Boughton at the time phoned me up one day, because I think I was chairman of the Young Farmers that year. And he said, you haven't got a licence, or you haven't got a bar. So we quickly went round, and we went up to Penzac's to get a publican there, and he agreed to do it. So we'd only got days to go. Anyway, we convened a court. We all went down to the police station. Jeff Ballard, a local magistrate, was called down by Sergeant Boughton, and Mr. Roach came down, and I came down, and we just, all four of us, just stood in the car park and held court, and that was it. It took 5 minutes.
Right, John, would you like to tell us about the Queen's coronation in June 1953? What the scouts did.
Well, the scouts were tasked with building the beacon, not bonfire, on the top of Abbey Hill. Now, our scout leader at the time was Phil King, who was one of the workers with Norman Lees. He worked at that time on the Home Farm and Wallsgrove Farm, because Wallsgrove had been sold by the Rutters by that time. When we got there, there was an old flagpole which had been blown down, I think, in 1947, but I'm not certain about the date when it was blown. And that was just lying down the side of the hill. The scouts mostly were, there was John Taylor, Brian and David Rhee, Hector Lydgate, myself, Bill Tyler, and I think others went as well. Now, Phil, the scout leader, drove a very old van, an old sausage van actually, and we collected old engine oil and old tyres. And I think we stored them at Mrs. Brinton's in Redmarley. And the Ferguson tractor was loaned by the farm. It was a little diesel Fergie. And we took that up on the top of the hill. And I suppose we camped up there in the Whitsun holiday, which was immediately before the coronation. Ropes and axes were supplied by the scouts, as we'd all passed the axeman proficiency test, at least I think we had, and borrowed puller blocks and things from the school. And I did borrow them, they were official. Anyway, the construction started, and the scouts had been given permission to burn the old flagpole, and also they could chop down any hawthorn trees and wood that was on the one side of it, which was the north side, the Abbey side. Anyway, we split up the flagpole using axes and wedges, and dragged the split pole up to the top using the tractor and the pulleys. That was then erected as a tripod. Then there were rows of hawthorn, and they were sort of all cut down. And Phil the scout leader, he organised this and designed it all. And they were put with the logs facing outwards. And we were cutting these trees down using 6 and 7 pound axes. Well, anyway, we raised them in logs, layer and layer and layer, until we had, Phil reckoned, 22 tons of wood. And we certainly had either 40 gallons of old engine oil or 40 tyres. And one was 40, one was 45. I'm not sure which. and then the beacon was supposed to be lit from the top. So it was a little sort of tinder was put on there. Anyway, the weather had been really fine for the week, and most of us had actually slept up there and camped up there. Well, the coronation day arrived, absolutely pouring down with rain. The beacon was lit, and it went, and it burned. And you can see now, if you walk along the top from the trig point on Abberley Hill, if you just walk along about 100 yards, you'll see some old stone slabs with old iron rings in them, all cracked. And that's what the fire did, cracked them. But the rain was an absolute blessing, because we think we'd have set the whole hill on fire if it hadn't been.
Thank you, John.